Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
The trade deadline has come and gone. It was kind of a dud. Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive and the NFL trade deadline. Over the last couple of years, it's become a big event. We've seen a lot of trades go down. We've seen a lot of big names moved. Not just small trades, but big names. I thought maybe we would see that this year. I don't know if the question marks regarding the cap prevented that from happening. But really, not a lot went down at all. In fact, the biggest move in my mind, the biggest move that was made, could potentially be Kwon Alexander going to New Orleans, and that was done yesterday. Really not a lot happening. However, the Miami Dolphins did make a trade with the New England Patriots. They sent Isaiah Ford to the Pats. That's about it. I mean, the Patriots need a receiver. They gave up very little to get him. They gave up a 2020 seventh round pick. And so that's basically it. And as far as Miami goes, they've made a couple of moves today that have made that offense a little bit more Tua-friendly. But that is the big story today in the national sports scene. Not a lot of activity on the NFL trade deadline. However, I started crunching the numbers today. And it was funny how this really picked up on the national media because I started looking at this last night. And I came to the conclusion that I believe Jimmy Garoppolo's time in San Francisco, I think he's done. I don't think we'll ever see Jimmy Garoppolo play another down for the San Francisco 49ers. That sounds crazy because this was a team that was in the Super Bowl just last year. I'm telling you, they can save $24 million in cap space if they cut him, $2.8 million in dead cap space next season, $1.4 million in 2022. So in my mind, I honestly believe that things are about to change in San Francisco. I want to talk about that today because it is Football Tuesday. We'll also talk about the trade deadline and how it was next to nothing. Some of the teams that should have made a deal, right? Should your team have made a trade? You look at the NFC, and there are a lot of teams that are in contention. In fact, right now, if we had to look at it, I would say there's probably, I think you can almost throw San Francisco out at this point with the injury news to George Kittle and Jimmy Garoppolo. I think you can probably remove San Francisco. So I think we have eight teams competing for seven spots. And that's only because the NFC East gets one. So you look at the teams that are trailing in the division. You look at the Rams and the Cardinals in the NFC West. You look at the Bears in the NFC North, who are now 5-3. Should these teams have been active today? Should they have been aggressive to try to make a move that would put themselves over the top? And in the same question, you have to ask yourself about the bottom feeders in these divisions. The Atlanta Falcons. They're 2-6. They have a few contracts that aren't necessarily desirable for a team that will be rebuilding relatively soon. Should they have made a move? AFC is a little bit different than the NFC. But ultimately, in my mind, those are the big stories today. So we'll get into that again. It is Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports. And we'll also throw in some college football talk. If you're a Utah Ute fan, some good news. The Utes will actually be on national TV this Saturday. Change in time, 1:30 kickoff as they take on Arizona. Now, of course, you will be able to listen to the Utah Utes all year long right here on KOAL. That's a given. But now you can watch them on national TV, ESPN. Live coverage on Saturday will begin right here on KOAL beginning at 1 p.m. and then kickoff will follow at 1:30. So there's some college football news. And we got a big college football game coming up this weekend as well. Notre Dame and Clemson. It's the first time since 1993 that South Bend Notre Dame Stadium will play host to a game that involves two teams in the top five. The last time it happened, Notre Dame, Florida State. The Seminoles were number one. Notre Dame was number two. One of the best games of the century. Notre Dame wins on the last play. Charlie Ward had his pass knocked down in the end zone. That was the last time two top five teams played at Notre Dame Stadium, and we get it this Saturday. Now, Clemson will be a little undermanned. Number one pick in the NFL draft, projected number one pick in the NFL draft, Trevor Lawrence. He's going to be sidelined for this game on Saturday against Notre Dame. While he will have cleared his 10-day isolation protocol for testing positive for COVID-19 last week, head coach Dabo Swinney said that the cardiovascular tests, which are designed to identify symptoms of myocarditis, will not be completed in time. So Lawrence can go to the field. He can be on, you know, he can travel with the team. He can be around the team, but he cannot play this Saturday. So he will, in fact, be on the sidelines. And I'm a little bit stunned by this. We had a conversation about this last week, and I thought, there's no way this guy's not going to play in this game. There's no way. But the ACC has guidelines. Trevor Lawrence is not going to complete those guidelines, and the ACC says he cannot play. Does it really benefit Notre Dame, though? And I say that because if Clemson loses, we know that Clemson right now, in my mind, Clemson's the best team in the country, and they are going to be massively undermanned without Trevor Lawrence. It's the number one pick, projected number one pick in the NFL draft. He was the Heisman frontrunner. You lose a kid like this, and you are going to be undermanned. How far will Clemson fall if they do, in fact, lose? And if Clemson beats Notre Dame without Trevor Lawrence, the Irish are done. Get rid of them as far as the playoff scenarios, the playoff picture is concerned. Number one versus number four this Saturday. If we have some time, we'll talk about that as well. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. Local sports recap is coming your way. The winter sports high school season, it begins right now, actually. Swimming, Carbon Lady Dinos going for that coveted three-peat. They're on the road. We'll go over the winter sports schedules. And we'll be joined by Vinny Rondinelli over the phone. He joins us every Tuesday. Some scheduling conflicts this week. Not going to happen, but he'll join us over the phone. We'll talk about the trade deadline that never was. That's coming up when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
Now, this local Castle Country sports update with Jordan Buscarini from KOAL.
Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And the high school winter sports season will officially begin this afternoon as both Carbon and Emory travel on the road for an opening meet at Wasatch Academy. That'll be the first of two meets this week, with the second coming on November 7th at the Richfield Invitational. The Carbon Lady Dinos are looking for an unprecedented three-peat in the 3A classification. The Lady Dinos have claimed the last two state championships. The team will once again be led by head coach Allie Chamberlain. Following today's meet again, Carbon will travel on the road to the Richfield Invitational, and then next week, they will take on Emory High School at the Aquatic Center. The Emory High School swim team will follow a similar path after opening up the season today. They'll take a full week off before playing host to South Sevier, Carbon, and Wasatch Academy next Tuesday, and the season will then continue on November 19th. While the swim season begins today, wrestling for both Carbon and Emory will pick up as far as practicing is concerned next week. Both teams will begin the season as we hit November 20th and 21st. Emory will once again be led by head coach Kurt Christiansen. Carbon, on the other hand, will be led by Tyler Prettyman, who is a first-year head coach after being a longtime assistant. We take a look at the high school basketball season, and for Carbon and Emory, it will both begin in just two short weeks. The Carbon Lady Dino basketball squad will open up the season on November 19th with a road trip to Duchesne. The first home game of the season will take place on November 24th against Grantsville. The Carbon Lady Dinos will once again be led by head coach Ted Bianco. Now, the Carbon boys basketball team will open up the season on the road on November 18th against North Sevier. The first home game of the year will be just 2 days later against Providence Hall. The region opener will take place on January 8th against South Sevier. Once again, the boys basketball team will be led by second-year head coach Jared Butler. The Emory High School boys basketball team will open up the season on November 18th. This game will be at home against American Leadership Academy. The next road game will then take place on November 24th. The region opener for Emory will also be on January 8th at home against the Richfield Wildcats. The Emory High School boys basketball team will be led by first-year head coach Jeff Cincineros. The Emory Lady Spartan basketball team will open up the season on November 17th. This will be a home game against Delta. It'll be the first of four games to open up the season at home for Emory. The next will follow on November 20th against Manti, the following week against Beaver, and December 1st against North Summit. The Emory Lady Spartan basketball team will be led by head coach Lynn Tuttle. You can get the complete winter sports schedules for both Carbon and Emory by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
So now you open my eyes.
Here comes the quarterback, Burrow, looking for a block, and he got it up in the front by Hopkins into the end zone. Touchdown!
Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports, also Election Day. Terrific interview yesterday with Herschel Walker. If you missed it, you can go check that out at CastleCountryRadio.com. Would have loved to have had Herschel on Football Tuesday. It didn't work, so we had him on yesterday. And again, you can go listen to that complete interview. We will talk about the trade deadline that was a complete dud. And we had some rumors that picked up early on in the day, and none of them really came to fruition. Joining us right now over the phone to talk about that, we have the man that's typically right here in studio with us on Tuesday, Vinny Rondinelli, who's joining us over the phone. And Vinny, nonetheless, it was a very dead trade deadline, to say the least.
Yeah, it kind of was. It was a bit of a, like you said, a dud. You were expecting more. You heard rumors building, you know, for a week. When all you really get is Everson Griffin moving from Cowboys to Lions, not exciting. Desmond King, who was basically suspended on a Chargers team that, what can you even say about what they're doing to themselves? You know, he moves to Tennessee, which is probably a good move for them. But overall, like you said, Jordan, it's a little bit lackluster, wasn't it? I mean, just kind of real disappointment.
It was. And I guess the big disappointment for me comes from Green Bay. And I say that because one of the moves, Quan Alexander goes to New Orleans yesterday. The Saints are all in for this year. They know that they're $60-plus million over the cap next season. This New Orleans Saints squad is going to look drastically different next year. I believe they know this is the last year for Drew Brees. They go all in. They grab Quan Alexander, and I actually like that move yesterday. I expected something similar today from Green Bay. And then the rumor breaks that there's conversations with the Houston Texans and that maybe Will Fuller would be on his way to Green Bay. And it makes perfect sense because Matt LaFleur, he has some chemistry with Will Fuller. He was at Notre Dame when Will Fuller became a breakout star. And I know that Will Fuller is going into the last year of his contract, but Vinny, Green Bay passes, and I don't know what Houston was asking. I have to believe it was a second-round pick. I would believe that's probably what it was. So let's just say it was a second-round pick. It's another opportunity where the Packers have an opportunity to put an asset with their aging quarterback, and they pass. They did this in the draft the night they went with Jordan Love, and they pass again at the deadline knowing that this is a team that's 5-2 and has a chance to go all the way. I have a problem with what the Packers did not do today.
And, you know, that's a great point, Jordan. And like you said, we wish we could be in and hear what's really going on. You know, was it the compensation that fell apart? I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that, you know, Green Bay and Houston did talk. I don't know if there's any doubt about that. And with Will Fuller, was it compensation? Was it Fuller's going to be a free agent in the year and they couldn't come to a deal in time? You know, for me, a second round is pretty high for, you know, what are we looking at, seven games? I don't know. But agree with you there that why not take the swing? Why not? You're not going to hit a home run, hold on the bat. So I agree with you. It's disappointing that Rodgers isn't throwing to somebody else, but you never know. I don't know. I would like to think that it had to do something with Fuller's contract rather than draft compensation, because if he walks, Houston doesn't get anything anyways.
Yeah, it's a good point. And if you're Green Bay, yes, you are trading for him for essentially seven games. And I guess the big question would be here, if you're the Packers, does Will Fuller, over the course of seven games, improve your chances of getting to the Super Bowl? In your mind, would that move have improved their odds of getting to the Super Bowl, giving up a draft pick for Will Fuller?
Absolutely. I mean, it definitely helps you. I don't see there's any way that Will Fuller's speed doesn't improve your offense. I mean, he's dynamic. You know, when he's healthy, again, a big question mark, but when he's healthy, he does take the top off. Does that help Devontae? Absolutely. Does that help Valdez-Scantling, less reps, probably playing third and fourth corners now instead of number two? Does that help him? Absolutely. Even the young tight end, Sternberger, does it help you? Yeah, absolutely, Jordan, absolutely. Is it worth a second rounder? Apparently, maybe not to Green Bay for a nine-game rental, whatever it is. So, I don't know, tough decision, but I would have liked to see it, personally. I wish that would have went through. I would have loved to see him there and have Rodgers going deep again.
Yeah, me too, me too. Another receiver that was rumored to be moved but stayed put, it was John Ross in Cincinnati. And I actually like the fact that the Bengals did not move on from John Ross, but it seems like every year we talk about the Bengals, should they move on from A.J. Green? This year it was, should they move on from John Ross? When you look at what they have in the receiving core, you throw T. Higgins in, this is a pretty solid core all the way around. I will be honest, I'm surprised the Bengals didn't make a move today. I really am.
I'm with you on that, Jordan. You know, John Ross isn't doing anything for you right now. T. Higgins is playing lights out. Tyler Boyd can play. If Green's healthy, you know he can play. You know, John Ross is one of those guys, a burner, and he can change your offense for sure, but he's not playing. And if you got no use for him, why keep him? So, again, for me, it's one of them Cincinnati being stubborn and hard-headed in their front office. He's going to walk. You get nothing for him. If somebody called looking for that kind of speed, even if it was a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick, why not?
Yeah, get
why
something.
Not? He
for
doesn't
him.
Want to be there.
Right.
You're not using him. Get something.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a first year quarterback that has proven that he has loads of potential. Do everything you can to give him more weapons. John Ross is definitely not the answer. I'm with you. I'm surprised that Cincinnati did not make a move today. Now, last night we got to see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They win. They win ugly, but they get a win last night against the Giants. And they didn't make a move at the deadline, but it's almost as if they did, because now they get Antonio Brown. They've activated him. His suspension is over. And we're talking about a guy that appears to be in great shape. Will he make any sort of impact in Tampa Bay, in your mind, over the next, what, eight, nine games?
You know, I think that his impact probably comes playoff time. It's going to take him a while to get acclimated. I don't believe, you know, you walk up the streets of year and a half, almost 2 years not playing football, and you're ready to play. So I'm not buying that he's just ready to go. But it gives you options. Last night, seen Mickens and Miller make some plays for the Buccaneers. Godwin, he comes back. Evans, you know, you can see that chemistry growing. So the Buccaneers have weapons. Tight ends, you know, Brate and Gronk played great last night. So, you know, I don't believe so in the short term, but in the long term. Hey, in playoff time, Mickens has eight career catches. He had five last night. Come playoff time, Antonio Brown's made a lot of big plays. He's probably a little better and a little more trustworthy in a championship game or a divisional game than Mickens or even Scotty Miller. So short-term, probably not, Jordan, but long-term, yes. Yes, you have to game plan for Brown. If he's in shape and he stays out of trouble, he gets some games under his belt. Defense coordinators are going to have to know where Antonio Brown is, plus Evans, plus Godwin, plus Gronk, plus Brate. Leonard Fournette looked pretty good last night. I mean, this offense was pretty scary.
Yeah, yeah. There's no question. There's no question. And if this is even a smidgen of the guy that the Raiders thought they were getting when they gave up a couple of draft picks for him, which seems like forever ago, but it really wasn't. It was not that long ago at all. It was last season when they did this. Then, yeah, I mean, it's just another weapon for Tom Brady, who does have some motivation. And again, they're finding ways to win ugly, and I think that accounts for something. Vinny Rondinelli, our guest right now with Football Tuesday. We're recapping the lack of the trade deadline. And Vinny, we can look at the NFC as we hit this part in time of the season. So we have Philadelphia at the top of the NFC East. We know for a fact there's going to be one team come out of that division. Remember, the NFL has expanded the playoffs to seven. Okay, so then you start taking a look at teams with five wins or more. Green Bay, Chicago, Tampa, New Orleans, Seattle, Arizona, Los Angeles. That's seven squads in the NFC. One of those teams is not going to get in. Out of those teams I just named, who did you expect to make a trade today?
You know, there's a team on the fringe there that's close and at times looks like they could do it. Two of them, actually. Your team in L.A. and also Chicago. Chicago defensively at times looks like they're close. If the offense plays good, they have a chance. I mean, they don't even have to be great. They got a chance. So probably L.A. Helping with the pass rush or a linebacker. You know, they're real thin there. And Chicago, maybe a weapon. You know, one of those guys on offense. You know, they're not catching the ball, so they're punching people and getting thrown out and suspended. In Chicago, their receivers seem to have trouble. I'm surprised those two didn't make a move because they're close. They're right there. You know, Arizona made their move early in the offseason when they gave up a lot. Did they give up a lot? No, they probably got a steal in DeAndre Hopkins. But they're going all in with their guy in Kyler Murray, and they're improving as best as they can. And I'm surprised L.A. and Chicago didn't try. And maybe they did. We don't know. Again, Jordan, who knows how many deals were real close. We'll never know, but I was surprised they didn't make more of an effort. It seems like they didn't make more of an effort.
Yeah, when you talk about the Rams, Les Snead's been very active over the last two trade deadlines as well. I mean, very active. They last year, they pulled in the move for Jalen Ramsey. They sent out Marcus Peters. This is a team that has been very active, and they are on the cusp. That tells me one of two things. Either A, they just couldn't get a deal done, or B, they're not quite sure of themselves, and you don't want to sell the farm to bring in something.
Yeah, yeah, and even, you know, even you see this time of year, sometimes it's rotational players, special teams players, even maybe a fringe starter backup at linebacker. You know, me and you have talked about our teams at length, both of our teams in L.A., and linebacker's been an issue, inside linebacker for the Rams. You know, the Chargers are out of it probably, most likely, but maybe an offensive lineman there since, you know, the entire team's hurt again. So there's teams, you know, like you said, we don't know what really happens or how close they are. Maybe Les Snead made the calls. Are there other surprises, Jordan? Are you surprised Atlanta didn't sell? Are you surprised, you know, Detroit being real, only, what, two games back from Green Bay or a game and a half? They didn't make more of an effort besides Everson Griffin. You know, those guys, their jobs are on the line probably, Matt, Patricia, and Bob Quinn. Them not being more aggressive, is that surprising to you?
Atlanta shocks me, and the reason Atlanta shocks me, it surprised me now for a couple of years. We've been going to blow this team up now for two seasons. Here you are at 2-6, and I also know that you have limited options when you take a look at Matt Ryan's contract. We broke this down a couple of weeks ago, Vinny. You're not moving on from Matt Ryan, and so is it one of those situations in Atlanta where you almost feel as if you're stuck until you can get rid of that deal? And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way towards Matt Ryan, but when you sign a quarterback to a deal like that, you almost have to build the team around him, and maybe that's why they're not selling off pieces. I don't know.
That could be it. And, you know, some of these teams that are, you know, maybe they're building for, or maybe, you know, they're looking at a two-year plan. For Atlanta, they're going to have a new coach. But, you know, Atlanta's been competitive. Atlanta blew some horrible leads. They realistically, Jordan, they're three plays away from being 5-2.
Right.
You know, they're right there, a mental error and an onside kick, a mental error stopping a clock. I mean, just simple things that they could have had a couple more wins. So are they that far off? No. This year, probably. But next year, you know, the new coach, you have a quarterback there. If Julio's healthy, there's some talent in Atlanta. You know, that's the option you could take with, you know, some of these other teams. They're close. You know, San Francisco, you know, they're resting on their laurels. Their whole team's hurt. They're done this year. They know it. At different stages of the season, different injuries, different things come into it. Salary cap. Could it be, Jordan, too, that they don't know the salary cap next year? All they have is a floor.
Yeah.
They don't
have
a ceiling. We know it's going to be at least 175. The NFL has confirmed that. Well, is that where it's going to stay? Could it be 180? Could it be 190? So lack of salary cap knowledge or real certainty, maybe that played a part in some of these moves too.
Vinny, we can end with this. We talked about the NFC and the teams that did not make a move. If we go to the AFC, it's a little bit different. You look at your teams that have five or more wins, Kansas City, Indianapolis, Tennessee, Baltimore, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Buffalo. There's your seven squads right there. That would be your playoff picture. But just on the outside looking in, it's Miami and Las Vegas, not too far off. When you look at what those squads have, anyone that you're surprised didn't make a big move in the AFC?
No, I think the teams like where they're at. The Raiders, you know, that was the most difficult part of their schedule. They came out of it with some injuries, and they still come out of it 5-3. I believe they're 5-3, or 4-3. They already had their bye. I'm not sure. But that was a tough part of their schedule. So they get a lot of home games, a lot of divisional opponents. You know, the Chargers are going to find a way to lose, it looks like. Denver's not very good in that division. With Miami, that's an interesting team, though. Miami is an interesting team. They went to Tua. They went younger, but they're building it around him. I mean, you saw them firsthand. You know, they only had 7 offensive points. They beat your Rams last weekend, but they really only had 7 offensive points, Jordan. So how good are they? You know, Flores done a great job, but for them, I think they're looking more long-term. I think that's the difference. And I don't think they're in a rush for this year. I really don't think this is their window. But yeah, very interesting. Anyways, how about the AFC North? 3 teams playing, going to end up in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, it looks like the NFC West.
Yeah, the NFC West. You know, Cleveland, what do we say about Cleveland? I don't know.
They've been outscored by 31 points in 8 games this season, yet they're 5-3. I mean, if this team is not the pillar of inconsistency, then what is? When you take a look at the teams that they have beaten, I think that's a pretty good gauge. I think at this point in time, you can look at who you've defeated. Okay, they beat the Bengals, they beat the Redskins, they beat the Cowboys. They've lost to the Raiders, they've lost to the Steelers, they've lost to the Ravens. I don't know that they have beat anyone that I look at and say, okay, this team's legit. On the flip side, you look at Baltimore, you look at Pittsburgh, you know those two squads are legit. We know this.
We know this, and it looks like Pittsburgh's steamrolling into home field. It really looks like that. The AFC South gets interesting. You know, 2 weeks ago, Rivers looked awful, and then here, you know, the rumors started creeping in here. You know, he's done. Yesterday looks incredible, or Sunday looked incredible, and they get a big win against a pretty good defense. So they're back in it. They're tied with, you know, Tennessee, who gets beat by Cincinnati and beat pretty handily. So that's an interesting division. What happens there? Houston's terrible. Jacksonville's pretty bad. So, yeah, I don't know, Jordan. This is going to be interesting. I think one interesting thing is the AFC West, and a point here is Kansas City. I like Pittsburgh over Kansas City, but Kansas City has a definitely easier road to that home field advantage because the AFC West is not as good as the AFC North right now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll see how that turns out because I think home field is going to be huge this year. It's going to be huge with all the uncertainty this year's already had. To be rested and at home, I think it's going to be an advantage this year more than any other year that we can remember just because of all the irregularity in the season. Everything's irregular. Your schedule, these testings, these, you know, the flight schedules now, when you're traveling, when the guys can go home. All these things are irregular. So I think home field is going to be huge. And we'll see how that turns out.
Vinny, it's always fun to get you on. I know next week we'll be back in the studio. I appreciate you taking out the time to join us today and talking about the trade deadline that never was for the NFL. We'll talk again next week.
Love it. Always love being on the air with you, Jordan.
Feelings mutual. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we're going to continue to talk NFL. What's happening in San Francisco? Is it the end of the Jimmy G era? That sounds odd. But I think it's very, very possible. We'll talk about that. Plus, it's Tuesday, so we'll give cheers to someone or something. That's all coming up right here on Drive Time Sports.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio.
You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
Another team that did not make a move today, the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah, they made a move yesterday, sending Quan Alexander to the Saints. Biggest deal, I believe, the trade deadline. But there are a lot of question marks right now surrounding the San Francisco 49ers. Fresh off of a Super Bowl loss. And look, a Super Bowl hangover is a real thing. We've seen it. Teams that go to the Super Bowl one time for the first time. Not the first time in franchise history. But teams that go and they lose, they really struggle getting back the next season. I mean, it's emotionally draining. And I'm not talking about the first time in franchise history. I'm talking about when you see a core or a team that hasn't been in a long time, they go to the Super Bowl, they lose. They typically don't get back the next season. Right? We saw it with the Rams. We saw it with the 49ers. You could go back. Philadelphia won, so they would be excluded. New England lost, but that's a team with a core and a starting quarterback that had been there many of times, so you can exclude them as well. Super Bowl hangovers are a real thing. It just so happens that mixed in with losing in the Super Bowl, the 49ers have been decimated by injuries. just tore up front to back. I mean, this team has dealt with bad luck after bad luck. It's a squad that anything that could go wrong has gone wrong. And they also happen to play in the toughest division in the NFL. I know the AFC North is making a case for it, but there's no Cincinnati in this division. There's no off weeks. The Rams are at 5-3. The Cardinals, they have 5 wins, and the Seahawks have 1 loss, and they just drubbed the 49ers on Saturday, or Sunday, excuse me. So looking at the way things have gone down for the 49ers, it's just worst-case scenario. And then the news comes out that Jimmy Garoppolo may in fact be done for the year, and George Kittle more than likely is done for the year. And you wonder if it's a throwaway season for San Francisco. This team's not going to the playoffs. They're not. And I believe that there are 8 legitimate playoff teams in the NFC, and they're battling for 7 spots. If you want to include the 49ers, there's 9 legitimate playoff teams battling for 7 spots, and I cannot view San Francisco in that category just based off of the injuries alone. That almost excludes them from this conversation. It's a tough go for this squad. So what do you do if you're the 49ers? Well, when you look ahead, just looking off of Over the Cap, which overthecap.com is fascinating. If you're into the numbers game, go check out overthecap.com. I think you'll love it. However, looking at the NFL cap, and there's a lot of nuances to it. The NFL cap is almost a myth. If you want to figure out a way to get around it, you can. We've seen that. And that's how Patty Mahomes signs a $500 million contract. That's how teams that have big, high-paid players still continue to add weapons. It's a myth. There's ways around it, okay? Looking at what the 49ers are right now, they're $3 million under the cap, and we still have some question marks about next season, but as it stands, San Francisco's $18 million under the cap going into next year. That does not include your draft picks. So the 49ers are up against it as far as the cap is concerned. How do you clear cap space? You cut Jimmy Garoppolo. And this idea last year would have been completely asinine. If I would have said this on the show last year, you would have rightfully blasted me. You would have had every right to say that is the most ludicrous thing I've heard, because Jimmy Garoppolo was very good last season. He was. Played in all 16 games. San Francisco goes 13-3. He takes him to a Super Bowl. QBR wasn't out of this world, but that's okay. He did just enough. And then they lose in the Super Bowl, and we started asking the question, is this guy the right quarterback for what Kyle Shanahan needs to do? Because as far as young play callers in the NFL are concerned, top three? Well, Kyle Shanahan's one of them. There's no doubt. So you start asking, is Garoppolo the right guy? And then this year we see him play 6 games. And if you pay attention to QBR, it's even lower this season than it was last season. That's a problem. Right, and we can look at the statistics all you want. I mean, touchdown to interception ratio is a highly important stat. He's thrown 7 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. That's not good. Threw 13 interceptions last year. But you could live with that because he threw 27 touchdowns, right? You just start looking at it, and when you see Mullins come into the game for San Francisco, it appears that Kyle Shanahan all of a sudden wants to test the waters downfield. It looks like a different team, and I'm not saying that Mullins is better. I'm just saying I don't believe that Kyle Shanahan has the sort of confidence in Jimmy Garoppolo that you need in a quarterback to pay him what they are on the hook to pay him. Moving into next year, they can save $24 million in cap if they cut him. It'll account against $2.8 million in dead money next season, and $1.4 million in dead money in 2022. $24 million in cap space? It almost seems like a no-brainer. Because even if you want to use the argument, well, he just went to the Super Bowl last year. Look, I get that. But that team was great defensively. The one argument I can make to you as to why San Francisco should cut him loose is the old adage, availability trumps ability. And Jimmy Garoppolo has had a problem being available. Last year he was available. Again, he played all 16 games. Things worked out. You go back to 2018, he played 3 games. That was it. And he wasn't great in those 3 games that he played. 5 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. And I understand that at that time, this team was rebuilding. I get it. They were a year removed from the Super Bowl. Last season, plays all 16. This year, maybe done for the season. And when you look at playing in the toughest division with one of the best young play callers in the game, John Lynch is going to have a very tough, difficult decision to make. And Garoppolo is a very likable guy. But once again, you have to look at the landscape. Look at the quarterbacks in the NFC West. Just look at them. You have Russell Wilson. And so far this year, he is the MVP. Things would have to go horribly, horribly wrong for Seattle in the second half of the year for him not to be MVP. Okay, so you have Russell Wilson to deal with. You have Kyler Murray, who is attached to one of the other top three young play callers in the game, in Cliff Kingsbury. And nobody was really sold. A lot of people were not sold on Kyler Murray going number one. But Arizona embraced this new wave. They decided to let their flashy young play caller get his quarterback, and that was Kyler Murray. And things have worked out pretty well in Arizona. And then you have the other top young play caller in the game, and Sean McVay. And he has Jared Goff. And I don't care what the story is surrounding Goff. This is a guy that has also gone to a Super Bowl, and it's a guy that is available. Jared Goff does not miss games. He hasn't missed games. And so you have an uber-tough Russell Wilson, you have a young Kyler Murray, and you have Jared Goff attached to Sean McVay. The missing ingredient in San Francisco right now is Kyle Shanahan doesn't have his guy. And that is a problem. And if San Francisco is on the hook for all this money, you have to believe that the 49ers would jump at the chance to get rid of him and eat $2.8 million. We have seen teams eat $10 million in cap space to get rid of players to potentially improve their cap situation. So if you're on the hook for $2 million and then $1 million, that's nothing in terms of the cap. Then would ask the question, where do you go from here? Well, I don't know. There's a lot of question marks at that point in time as to what Shanahan or what John Lynch would do for the 49ers. But to me, it just seems like Jimmy Garoppolo's time is done. And now it comes full circle because you go back to 2017 and the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick did not want to trade Garoppolo. That is a well-documented story. He had no intentions on trading Jimmy Garoppolo. Robert Kraft made him do it. And Belichick was furious. Now, Garoppolo is going to be 30. He's not the 26-year-old kid that Belichick traded. But you know who else needs a quarterback? The New England Patriots. And this may be an unbelievable story where if Belichick could bring him in and right the wrongs and get Garoppolo on track, we would sit back and we would shake our head. And I'm not willing to give up on that folklore, you know, that aura that surrounds the Patriots just yet, because this was a crazy offseason to begin with. If you don't think that Bill Belichick would jump at the chance to bring in Jimmy Garoppolo when he has Jarrett Stidham, who he obviously has no faith in because Cam Newton has been horrible, yet who is still the starting quarterback on the team? Cam Newton. That's how much faith he has in Jarrett Stidham. They brought in a banged-up Cam Newton and started him over Jarrett Stidham. There's no quarterback in New England. So if you don't think for a minute that Bill Belichick and the Patriots are monitoring this situation, to me, this is a story. It's November 3rd of 2020, and I believe this offseason we will see Garoppolo once again with Bill Belichick, and I believe it would be the right move. And San Francisco has pushed the right buttons. One thing that John Lynch has done, he has pushed the right buttons. And now it may be the right time to move on from Garoppolo from a sheer saving standpoint, knowing this guy has a hard time staying healthy. And when he's right, he's okay. He's okay. Let's pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We're going to raise our glasses. Cheers is on the way right here on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Sometimes you want to go where everybody
knows your name. Salud.
Grab your cups of beer, put them up, let's cheer, put them up, let's win. Here's a toast to never looking back again.
Time for one of my favorite segments here on the show. It's Cheers. Brought to you by the Handy Martin Helper. Each week, I raise my glass to someone, something, some team in sports. We say cheers in this segment brought to you by the Handy Martin Helper, where they have their beer cave. Go check it out. Football going on this weekend. No place like the beer cave to gear up for a big weekend. Handy Martin Helper bringing you today's cheer segment. I have Travis Anderson in the studio with me. And Travis, I am not throwing a shot at you, but I really had to think hard today on who I wanted to raise my glass to. I had to think really, really hard. And I expected today's show to be all wrapped up in the trade deadline and breaking down how teams tried to maneuver and jockey for position. And it was a dud. We didn't get a whole lot. So I am going to raise my glass today to your former guy, Avery Williamson, who got the heck out of New York and is on his way to Pittsburgh. He's the luckiest man on the face of the planet right now, isn't he?
Yeah, doesn't have to play for that dumpster fire in New York. So he gets to go to undefeated Pittsburgh team that's going to be in the playoffs, where the Jets probably don't win a game.
They signed him to a three-year, $22.5 million deal back in 2018. Led the team in his first season in tackles. Then he suffered a torn ACL in 2019. He hasn't played real well. Nobody on the Jets has played well this year. Pittsburgh's defense is a little bit different than the Jets, though. They're more aggressive. They're a physical football unit. They look good, undefeated. I don't know how long the 7-0, the undefeated streak's going to last. But anytime you get someone who led the team in tackles just 2 years ago, he's healthy, he's rejuvenated. Yes, this is a good deal for Pittsburgh, and it's a great deal for Avery Williamson. So that's who I'm raising my glass to. You're leaving one of the worst possible situations in the NFL, and you're going to a class act organization that has ran the way it should be ran, top to bottom, and you have a chance to compete for a Super Bowl. Can you think of a luckier person in sports right now?
No, I can't. You got to leave the Jets. Jets get a fifth-round pick. They got tons of draft picks.
That's fine.
Up.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. It works out for the Jets. That's fine.
They got picks stockpiled, and that's what you have to do when you're in a rebuild. You can stockpile picks, and then later on, you can trade those. So, yeah, he's lucky that he gets to leave the Jets. I wish, as a fan, I could leave the Jets.
Oh, you can. This is America. This isn't Russia. You can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I just wish that, you know, I could, you know, just get rid of him out of my life forever.
You have the right to do that.
Yeah, but that's not the right thing to do. You have to stick with your team.
I agree. But you have the right to do that. I don't know that anyone would fault you if you did that. But at least you're loyal. I'll give you that. I'm going to raise my glass to Avery Williamson again. He's on his way to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I kept talking about the deal that I love, San Francisco trading Quan Alexander to New Orleans. If it works out for the Saints, it's fantastic. And that's a team that's going all in. I could raise my glass to the Saints today as well, because unlike the Packers, the Saints are a team that realized, look, we got to win this. We got to win this now. If you're a Saints fan, this is it for you. Seriously, this is
your last chance. Yeah, Drew Brees is gone at the end of the year. This is your last opportunity at a Super Bowl. If you don't get it done this year, it might not happen for a very long time.
Did they do enough?
No.
I don't think so either. But at least they tried something. They did something. Yeah. Green Bay today had an opportunity to add Will Fuller. And you won't give up capital when you have one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game under center right now, and he's aging? Come on. You got to do something. I mean, New Orleans has got all in. I believe they're projected at $60 million over the cap next year. That's not going to be the case. They're going to get under the cap, but they are trying. So you could probably raise your glass to New Orleans as well. Out of time of this edition of the show. We will be back to do it again tomorrow. We'll talk hot stove and baseball. That's going to pick up here relatively soon. Guys are free agents right now. And these guys, and a lot of these guys, they can negotiate contracts right now if they would like. Free agency has started in Major League Baseball. I think it's a slow wave.
It's going to be slow, yeah, just with everything that's going on with the money, with the pandemic and everything like that with teams. So I think the market, it's going to take a very long time for these players to, you know, settle in.
We'll start talking about that. We'll also start talking college football, because the Utes make their return to KOAL this Saturday. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. For Vinny Rondinelli, be safe. We are out.